Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Crime with Holly. I'm your host, Crimeaholly. This week, I have another borrowed episode for you guys from my friend, Leah D. from Least of These Podcast. Leah and I both decided that we would take the week off from podcasting so we could celebrate the 4th of July with our loved ones. We decided to swap episodes so that our listeners still had something to listen to over the weekend. If you're not familiar with Leah and her podcast, I will have all of the information in the description of this episode. She is an amazing person that works very hard at what she does, so I highly suggest checking out more of her work and following her on all social medias. So without further ado, I'm going to hand the mic over to Leah so she can tell us all of the details on the murder of Diane Way.
Welcome to Least of These, where I cover the cases that need it most, because every life matters and everyone deserves justice. I'm your host, Leah D., and today I'll be covering the case of Diane Way in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. Let's get right to it. Nestled in the Driftless area, Dodgeville, Wisconsin is the perfect blend of small-town charm and outdoor adventure. It's the place to go if you're trying to beat the hustle and bustle of the big city. It doesn't hurt that Iowa County, where the town is located, offers some of the most scenic views, like Cox Hollow Lake, Stevens Falls, or the iconic Governor Dodge State Park. For those seeking a peaceful escape, Dodgeville is a hidden gem right there in the heart of the Midwest. Many of the residents have called the town home all their lives. It's quiet, quaint, everybody knows everybody, and nothing bad ever happens in Dodgeville. That is, until it does. On July 19, 2021, a man arrived at the home of 74-year-old Diana Way at 3488 Hunter Hollow Road in Dodgeville. He was there to buy a collection of books from her. Diana lived alone in the home on Hunter Hollow Road after her husband of 33 years, Thomas, passed away unexpectedly from complications from treatments he was receiving for colon cancer in 2005. The house wasn't just your average cookie-cutter three-bedroom, two-bath house at the end of a cul-de-sac. It was at the center of a 72-acre farmstead. It seems Diana and Thomas weren't your cookie-cutter husband and wife either. Thomas Lovell not only worked with the plasma physics group at the University of Wisconsin, but was part of the Wonders of Physics, which is a traveling show aimed at teaching physics in a high-energy and exciting way with fun demonstrations. According to the Wisconsin State Journal, Thomas was assistant to physics professor Clint Sprott, and not only did Thomas write many of the skits, but also performed in over 170 shows, always making a flashy introduction. He was a huge part of the show, and it almost didn't go on after his death. But his longtime friend, Professor Sprott, decided that to honor Thomas, the show had to go on, and it still does today. When Thomas wasn't working or hyping up the crowd at a show, he was at his 72-acre farm with Diana. The couple had one son, Eric, and he was raised on the farm on Hunter Hollow Road. That July 19th day, the man interested in the books made it down the long wooded driveway up to the house. He knocked, but no one answered. Diana was expecting him, though, and the two had made arrangements for the books, so at some point he decided to go into the house. When he got inside, the house was unusually still and quiet. He must have gotten concerned because he walked into Diana's bedroom, and that's when he discovered the 74-year-old mother and grandmother unresponsive in her bed. He called 911 and EMS quickly arrived on scene. As paramedics rendered aid to Diana, according to a criminal complaint, one of the crew members' carbon monoxide monitors alerted to a high level of carbon monoxide. The house was immediately evacuated, and the fire department was called in to assist. Once firefighters arrived, they measured the carbon monoxide levels throughout the house. The reported levels were 60 parts per million inside Diana's bedroom and around the 30 to 40 parts per million range in the other areas of the house. The carbon monoxide was so prevalent, the levels were even elevated way down in the basement. According to the World Health Organization, the recommended indoor air level for carbon monoxide is below an average of 9 parts per million over an 8-hour period. And according to the EPA, average levels in homes range from 0.5 to 5 parts per million. The concentration in Diana's bedroom was 12 times that. Though the fire department obviously knew that the levels of carbon monoxide in the home were extremely elevated, what they didn't know was why. A search of the residence revealed no apparent source for the elevated levels. There was no natural gas service to the home, and all the appliances were electric. There was no generator, vehicle, or internal combustion engines in the area throwing any exhaust into the house. They were stumped. What could have caused a toxic level of carbon monoxide? Diana Way was pronounced deceased at 11:33 a.m. that morning. There were no obvious signs of trauma to her body, and with the elevated carbon monoxide levels in the house, carbon monoxide poisoning was certainly on the high list of possible causes for her death. But it wasn't the only thing being considered. You see, Diana Way had some medical issues, some of them pretty severe. Severe enough that EMS had responded to that very residence on previous occasions, and some of the medics were familiar with Diana. One of them was the EMS chief who responded on July 19, 2021. He had been present for past calls for service. Well, that EMS chief noticed something in Diana's bedroom. It was a mysterious L-shaped stain on the carpet near the foot of Diana's bed. It was approximately 6 by 2 inches, and he was sure it hadn't been there in the past. Investigators would later speak to a caretaker who helped Diana at the house, and she confirmed too that the stain on the carpet wasn't present when she had vacuumed 3 days earlier on July 16th. The stain was strange for sure, and something police and EMS took note of. But aside from that, nothing else in the house seemed to be out of place. With suspected carbon monoxide poisoning, Diana's body was sent for autopsy. The autopsy confirmed what police and EMS already believed. Diana had died due to carbon monoxide poisoning. Her blood showed an elevated level of carbon monoxide. But that wasn't all the autopsy revealed, because with a closer exam of Diana's body, the medical examiner noted indications of recent trauma to the left side of her body. That included a contusion or bruise to Diana's left eye and part of her face, with swelling of her left cheek, and what the medical examiner described as scattered petechial hemorrhages along her lower left eyelid. There was also bruising to her left shoulder and upper chest. Vascular puncture sites were noted at autopsy as well to her right hand and wrist. But that made sense, since Diana did suffer from several different medical conditions, diabetes being one of them. Though Diana did have medical conditions, none of them appeared to be what caused her death. With no reasonable cause as to how in the hell so much carbon monoxide had ended up in her system as she slept, it became pretty clear that Diana Way had been murdered. But who had done it? Why and how? All police had to go on initially was the fact that Diana's death was the result of carbon monoxide poisoning, and there was a strange L-shaped stain on her bedroom carpet. That wasn't a whole lot, so of course they looked back at the scene for clues. And when they did, they noticed that there was a trail cam on the property that was positioned near the driveway. It captured the comings and goings to and from Diana's home. And that trail camera had caught something in the early morning hours of July 19, 2021, the hours before Diana was discovered. At 2:57 a.m., the camera caught a truck pulling up the driveway with its headlights cut off. Roughly 2 hours and some change later, at 5:24 a.m., the same truck was caught driving down the driveway, away from the house. While the images weren't clear enough to make out the license plate, The truck had some pretty distinct features, like the aftermarket rims with circles on the inside, truck bed handrails, double-armed mirrors, and decals on the front and rear window glass. Investigators were confident that if they saw the vehicle again, they'd be able to identify it. And with that, their attention turned to those closest to Diana. Since her husband had passed, Diana's next of kin was her son, Eric. The day of the murder, Eric came in to talk. Maybe he would be able to shed some light on why anyone would have wanted his mother dead. When asked if his mom had any issues in her life, Eric told investigators that she had recently decided to sell the 72-acre farm, and he felt she was being swindled out of it. Diana had decided to sell the family farm to a married couple she had known for years. Eric told police that he didn't want that to happen because he felt the family farm was worth way more than it was going to be sold for. He went on to say that he wasn't upset that his mom was selling the farm. He was upset since it felt like she was getting screwed on the deal. He explained that even if she decided not to sell, he wasn't going to be the one to inherit the farm. In the event of Diana's death, the farm would go to his son and obviously Diana's grandson, Philip. Eric told detectives that Philip now lived in Colorado, which is where he was at the present moment. And he was just hoping he could come down and stay with him for a few weeks to take care of him after the passing of his mother. He didn't have much family around and he needed his son more than ever. And of course, though Eric was a grieving son, investigators had to know what kind of vehicle he drove, because at this point, that truck was their biggest clue. Eric told them that he no longer drove because he had multiple sclerosis. However, he had obviously gotten a ride to the sheriff's office, so detectives asked who had driven him there, and Eric told them that the person who had dropped him off was a friend. And then the tone of the conversation changed. You see, investigators knew something that Eric didn't know they knew yet, but he was about to find out because he was then asked if there was any reason the friend's truck would have been at his mom's house around the time of her death. Eric said his friend didn't know his mom and would have absolutely no reason to be at the house on Hunter Hollow Road. So detectives asked if he would call this friend so they could speak to him and verify all of this. Eric refused to call and allowed detectives to speak with this friend until he had a chance to talk to him first. After that, Eric Way was a whole lot less talkative. But it didn't matter. Investigators were already 10 steps ahead of him. As it turns out, the friend who had dropped Eric off for his interview drove a very distinctive truck. And as a matter of fact, police had followed the Ford F-250 from the sheriff's office until the driver of the truck had pulled into the parking lot of the Dodgeville Farm and Fleet. Once in the parking lot, investigator Richard Severson of the Iowa County Sheriff's Office made contact with the so-called friend and driver. The driver was 27-year-old Philip Schmidt Way. Yeah, that Philip. He wasn't just some friend of Eric's, but his whole-ass son. You know, the one he had just claimed was still in Colorado. And the truck Philip was driving was an early 2000s model Ford F-250, with a two-tone paint scheme, aftermarket rims with circles on the inside, double-arm mirrors, and large decals on the windows. The words "panty dropper" were splayed across the front windshield and on the back, mirrored silhouettes of exotic dancers. You literally cannot make this shit up, folks. Not even if you tried. It goes without saying, but this Ford F-250 looked a hell of a lot like the truck captured on the trail cam in the hours before the murder. And with that, the old panty dropper was taken into police custody and towed to the sheriff's office. A search warrant was obtained, and you know what they found in that truck? What is described in police documents as a canister-style half-face respirator, and a handful of receipts. One of those receipts showed the purchase of a carbon monoxide alarm from a Home Depot in Colorado on July 12th, a week before the murder. Back at the station, Eric Way was arrested and charged with obstruction. The criminal complaint doesn't give a whole lot of details about the obstruction charge, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's probably due to all his lies. Anyhow, at the time of his arrest, his black Samsung Galaxy cell phone was taken and a search warrant for the data on the phone was obtained. Electronic data was also gathered from his Google accounts. And it sure told a story of a son who didn't want the family farm sold and would stop at nothing to make sure it ended up in his hands. To get the complete picture of exactly what happened, we have to take it all the way back to about January of 2021. In Facebook posts, Eric Way lamented about the state of his life. And when I say lamented, I do mean it. This joker posted on Facebook like it was his full-time job. I ain't never in my life seen someone post more on a social media site than this guy. It took hours of scrolling through countless cat memes, an unhealthy hatred of Elon Musk, and a whole lot of anti-police stuff to get to the time frame before Diana was murdered. And on more than one occasion, I scrolled so long, Facebook crashed out, and I'm sure I missed a ton of posts. But what I was able to determine from the post I could get to is that in early 2021, Eric Way's life was falling apart. He was going through a divorce and his mom was seriously considering selling the family farm. On January 13, 2021, he posted, "The hits keep coming. Got in touch with my mother to ask if she could help out with a retainer for a divorce lawyer. Nope, she's talking about selling the farm. That was kind of my fallback plan if/when everything else went to poop. I could grow old and die out there. I hope my ex-wife's lawyers leave me enough money for a nice refrigerator box. Not in a good mood today. I'm going to try to go back to sleep for a while." Roughly 2 weeks later, Eric started a Facebook fundraiser trying to get money for an attorney. The goal was set at $10,000, and before it ended, Eric got $1,800 in donations. In the About section, Eric wrote, "Okay, it's time for something that I hate, begging. I am asking for your help in retaining a lawyer. I have had one generous friend offer to help with a sizable chunk. I'm not naming anyone, but he has moved to a hallowed status in my mind. I want to be super clear. I am broke, and I know that most of you are too. If you can't or won't or just don't feel comfortable getting involved, I still love you. I'll have money when this is done to pay people back, but that might take a year. Remember, and I cannot stress this enough, I do not want what you can't afford. I will not drag other people into this mess. So tell me that you can help or tell me to go fuck myself or just scroll past this like it never happened. Love you all." It's unclear if the lawyer was to help with a divorce or with what he was about to try to do next, because things for Eric were about to get much worse. As I mentioned before, his mom, who was 74 at this point, suffered from several different medical conditions. By February of 2021, Diana Way was in the hospital. Eric began posting all about it. After a couple updates on which hospital Diana was in, on March 2, 2021, he wrote, "Not a good day. Mom is still, quote unquote, confused. She is very eager to get out of the hospital and go back home. She needs to stay in the hospital and get care. If she is super lucky, she will get well enough to eventually come home, but not in the time frame she believes is right. Because of COVID restrictions, I can't visit her until Monday. I understand and respect the hospital's rule. It's a GD pandemic, and they are fighting to keep people well. I don't want an exception. I am going through so much right now, I think that I'm going to crack and I'm very worried. I'm worried about Diana. I'm worried about the farm. I'm worried about my family, and I'm worried that I'm not going to make it through this alive. So I don't come across as a total ingrate here. I'm not alone in this. I do have to take the lead. I'm next of kin, and I feel responsible. But there are a couple other people helping where they can, and no one is making things harder but her. I'm not going to call them out by name because that's not really my way. But if they read this, even if they don't, I hope they know that I love them and appreciate it." 4 days later, on March 6, 2021, Eric posted about the situation again, writing, "It sounds like Mom is calming down. I had a conversation with her this morning and she didn't act crazy at all. I'm hoping that she will settle down so she can get the physical part of her troubles addressed. Then we can take her home where she can be crazy and paranoid if she wants to and it won't be a problem. I'm still probably going to have to take over the farm and try to run her daily life slash bills slash meds, but that just sucks. It doesn't fill me with the fear of Mom losing her mind in a hospital and ending her days in an asylum. I'll have to have some conversation with her that I don't want to, but it's better than what's been going on." And that's when things began getting desperate. Diana Way started getting a serious plan together to sell the farm. With her medical issues, such a large property was getting to be too much for her. And Eric was gonna have none of it. On March 14, 2021, he shared a photo of his dad, Thomas, and wrote, 16 years, referencing the number of years since his father had passed, and then the post went on, 16 years, and my mother is trying to sell his farm out from under me. As the months ticked on, Diana moved forward towards the sale of the property, and Eric Way hatched a plan of his own. If his mom was really going to sell the farm and he couldn't talk her out of it, then he'd just have her deemed incompetent, take guardianship over her, and then he'd be the one calling the shots. In Facebook messages obtained by police, on May 31st, Eric sent a message to a friend. In the message, he stated that he wanted to get, quote, legal guardianship of mother before she sells the family farm for a handful of beans. On June 2, 2021, he set that plan in motion. According to court documents, Eric Way filed a petition for permanent guardianship due to incompetency. At the same time, that married couple Diana had known for years made an offer on the farm. Diana signed the agreement on June 9, 2021, and the closing date was set for July 30th. The clock was running out for Eric, and at this point, he started to pull someone else in on his devious plan. Eric discussed the guardianship with his son, Philip. On June 11, 2021, the two discussed getting a new attorney in hopes of gaining guardianship over Diana over Facebook Messenger. Philip wrote, I guess more than switching, I was wondering if there are other avenues to explore. IDK, I'm sure we will know more after they get back to you. I just feel that sooner will be better for us than later. Eric responded, I don't know either. I'll ask. Philip wrote, okay, do what you have to take care of yourself. I love you a lot, man, and I'll make sure that we are okay. You're not going to be on the streets. I know this is getting really fucking tough, and we need to make sure we hold it together. He continued, I really feel like we don't have much footing, and to give in now is sure defeat. I think the only hope is to keep pushing, and if it falls apart, then we can walk away. I guess most of what I'm asking is to try to pull through till the end. And know that I got you, man, and would never do some shit like that to any of you. His father responded, I'll not give up, yet. And Philip, there are lots of ways this could still go. I know we are both super worked up and it's hard to sit and wait even for a second. We will come through this and figure something out, man. Those messages were sent on July 11th. 5 days later, a hearing was held on the guardianship petition, and Eric Way's petition for guardianship was dismissed. The court ruled that Diana Way was completely competent to make decisions for herself. Later that day, Eric messaged his son via Facebook Messenger again. He wrote, Today was a complete failure. Thanks for calling me today. I'm sorry if I was out of it or overdramatic. I took more than my usual dose of antidepressants, not more than is safe, and sent myself to bed. I do think you are handling the Diana situation well. I'm sorry that I wasn't more successful. Eric didn't stop with his messages to Philip. He then took to Facebook and publicly bashed his mother and the court ruling. He wrote, For 40 years, I have been trying to get someone to listen to me about my mother. She is crazy, and first she was hurting me, and now she is hurting herself. Nobody has ever taken me seriously. Not then, not now. I am done talking about it. The court declared her to be fully competent today and they can take care of her the next time the EMTs quote-unquote kidnap her. It's easier for people to just believe that I am a hyperbolic liar than that she beat me every day of my life until I was big enough to make her stop. I tried to save her life here. She can't take care of herself and she has proven it. I'm done. I just want to point out here I could find no documented history of abuse of any kind. Also, though Eric didn't post about his mom often, aside from the rantings about her selling the farm, in the posts that I could find, it seemed as if his mom was always trying to help him. In one instance, back in 2015, his mom was coming to sit with him while he was having a panic attack. And in others, he was headed to the farm to be with her when he was struggling. Either way, after the guardianship proceedings, Diana Way made some moves of her own. As it turns out, in Diana's will, in the event of her death, Eric Way was granted a life estate in the farmstead, with the remainder of her assets going to his son. But after he tried to take control and custody of her, Diana changed the will and left everything to her grandson, Philip Schmidt Way. She even went as far as to clarify in the will that she was intentionally not leaving any gift or distribution to her son Eric. She met with her attorneys and made it official on June 30th. Unfortunately, at this time, Diana could have never known that her son and grandson had formed some kind of unholy alliance with the goal of getting that farm no matter what. Eric was enraged after the guardianship hearing, and likely even more so when he found out his mother had cut him out of the will. So he set a new plan in motion. Throughout the month of July, he made some rather interesting Google searches, which of course were later obtained by police. On July 1st, he searched, "Can RICO be invoked in a state case?" Just in case you didn't know, according to U.S. law, RICO, or Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, is a law enacted for the purpose of ending organized crime. If you catch a RICO charge, you're looking at harsher penalties, like life in prison and a whole lot of fines. Fines like $250,000 are double the proceeds earned from whatever illicit activity you were engaged in. Eric Way laid off the search bar for a little while and focused his attention on getting his son in town. On July 13, 2021, he sent a message to Philip, asking if he was still, quote, planning on coming to town Thursday. And another message, "There's an extra key in the mailbox when you get here." 3 days later, on July 16th, Eric texted his son, "I got the wrong things at the hardware store today, but I think I know what I want now." There was also a flurry of Google searches made by Eric that day. Searches for Columbus, Wisconsin, Columbus, Wisconsin Bees, Capital B Supply, which is located in Columbus. Continuing on with the searches, sulfuric acid, Home Depot, how to use sulfuric acid for drain cleaning, what drain cleaner has the most sulfuric acid, more searches for sulfuric acid, drain cleaner, sulfuric acid drain cleaner near me, sodium hydroxide, sulfuric acid Ace Hardware, and amazing liquid fire drain opener. As it turns out, Eric wasn't doing just a little drain cleaning or beekeeping research. According to his Google records, after that research, he headed to Columbus, Wisconsin that very same day. Court documents state that on July 16th, from approximately 2:35 p.m. to 2:47 p.m., Eric's Android phone was in the vicinity of Capital B Supply. Investigators later spoke to the owners of that beekeeping supply store and learned that a customer purchased a full case of formic acid strips. What are formic acid strips, you might ask? Well, I can tell you, because I fell down a beekeeping rabbit hole. According to the EPA, formic acid is a pesticide solely used within honeybee hives to eradicate varroa mites. In the U.S., formic acid is only sold in strips that are placed in the hive. As the strips absorb water, formic acid vapor is released and it kills the mites. According to the owners of Capital B Supply, most hobbyist beekeepers would only buy a few strips of the treatment at one time. One, it's expensive, and two, you don't need a whole lot of it. But the owners remembered a new male customer coming in that day and buying a whole case of the stuff. They were shown photos of Eric Way and said they believed that was the man who had bought the entire case of formic acid. Eric Way? What in a beekeeper? So how would he even know about formic acid? According to a criminal complaint, he had helped some of his friends with beekeeping activities and even posted about it on Facebook. We're right back to the Facebook. Anyhow, with the formic acid in hand, the next day, which brings us to July 17th, Eric Googled liquid fire drain cleaner again. And his Google records indicate that that afternoon, his Android phone was in the vicinity of an Ace Hardware in Middleton, Wisconsin from 3:40 to 3:50 p.m. The owner of that Ace Hardware confirmed that 1 gallon of liquid fire drain cleaner was purchased on July 17, 2021 at 3:43 p.m. and the customer paid in cash. Any guesses on what you get if you mix formic and sulfuric acid? Yep, you got it. High concentrations of carbon monoxide. When the two acids are combined, a chemical reaction occurs. The sulfuric acid consumes the formic acid and releases carbon monoxide gas. In fact, according to the National Institute of Health, this method is used in the commercial production of carbon monoxide in laboratories. And as we all know, carbon monoxide is colorless, odorless, and say if someone was sleeping, they would just never wake up. Eric thought he had devised the perfect murder plot. And over the next days, he and his son carried it out. By the evening of July 18, 2021, it appears Philip was either already in Wisconsin or well on his way. Eric sent a text message at 7:52 p.m. that said, "I'm gonna lie down for a bit. Wake me up when you come down." Surveillance video was pulled from the street cameras, which showed the panty dropper, otherwise known as Philip Schmidt Way's truck, driving from the area of Eric Way's home on East Washington Avenue in Madison in the direction of Dodgeville. At 1:50 a.m. on the morning of July 19th, the truck exited the Madison Beltline onto U.S. Highway 18. It all aligned with the time the truck was spotted on the trail cam, and of course, Diana's murder. Eric Way had enlisted his own son to murder his mother to save his inheritance. And it seems Eric was desperate to acquire that property because he had never made his own way in life. He spent his time bitching and moaning on Facebook about how rotten his life was, filled with envy over people who were financially successful, especially Elon. The dude really just had it out for Elon Musk. And after he murdered his mother, he turned right back to Facebook looking for sympathy, posting, "The hits keep coming. Mom passed away last night." And sympathy is exactly what he got, because no one imagined he was a murderer. Well, except investigators. But everyone was gonna find out soon enough. 3 days after the murder, Eric performed another Google search. This time he searched, "Does carbon monoxide make you hallucinate?" It's an interesting Google search, not only since it was carbon monoxide related, but also due to the injuries to Diana Way's body. During the autopsy, the medical examiner had found that Diana had a bruise on her left eye, a swollen cheek, petechial hemorrhages along her lower left eyelid, and bruising to her left shoulder and upper chest. Of course, that suggests that Diana could have woken up as she was being poisoned, held down, and forced to stay in the room. And carbon monoxide can make you hallucinate. So it's possible that if she was awake, she could have been talking out of her head, seeing things that weren't there, or confused about the things that were. Which makes it all the more heartbreaking. It's very possible that Diana Way knew she was being murdered by the son she birthed and her own grandson. The evidence against Eric and Philip was stacking up, but they were not yet charged with murder. Eric had been charged with obstruction, but it looks like that was either dropped or he was awaiting his court date as investigators built their case against them because he was right back to doing what he did best, posting on Facebook. A month and a day after Diana's death, Eric posted, "Dear FB friends, the Wisconsin Department of Justice has a couple of quote-unquote special agents going around pestering people I know on Facebook. I am sorry." People in the comments asked Eric what was going on, and he responded, "My mother died a few weeks ago, and they won't tell me how or why, but her sisters convinced them that it was suspicious and probably my fault. They told a whole bunch of crazy stories about me, and the cops got very worked up." Pretty sure it was the carbon monoxide that got the cops worked up, but pop off Eric. Anyhow, he then went on to say that he had a lawyer and he basically told the cops to go fuck off. But fucking off is not what the cops did. Instead, they moved forward with the investigation. According to police documents, Philip Schmidt Way's truck was sent off to the Wisconsin State Crime Lab along with that piece of carpet with the L-shaped stain taken from Diana's bedroom. In the truck, investigators found a whitish-brown residue on the passenger side floorboard carpet and plastic trim piece from the floorboard. The stain from the bedroom floor and the residue in the truck were analyzed, and it was found to be sodium bicarbonate as well as a little sodium sulfate. Sodium bicarbonate, as in baking soda. Why baking soda? Baking soda is commonly used to neutralize acid spills. And you know, Eric and Philip wanted Diana dead, but they needed to survive so they could get that farm. So investigators theorize they brought along a little baking soda to neutralize the reaction from the formic and sulfuric acid, once they had all the carbon monoxide they needed. The case against Eric and Philip took a little over a year to build. But in November of 2022, they were both arrested and charged with first-degree intentional homicide. They both pled not guilty and were tried together a year later in December of 2023. And not surprisingly, they were both found guilty of murder. Eric Way was sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole. Philip Schmidt Way was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility for release with extended supervision after 20 years. According to property records, the farm was transferred to new owners on August 5, 2021. The new owners appear to be a married couple. We can only hope that those new owners are the friends of Diana she intended to sell the farm to before her murder. Looking at the court records, it appears some of Diana's other assets are still tied up in probate court. In the words of Mignon McLaughlin, "We're all born brave, trusting, and greedy, and most of us remain greedy." Eric Way wanted that 72-acre farm. He wanted it more than anything. Hell, he thought he deserved it. He took his mother selling the farm as a personal slight against him. His greed consumed him. It was obvious in what he said publicly, so imagine how it ate him up when he was all alone with his thoughts. That greed consumed him so much, not only did he want his mother dead, he was willing to ruin his own son's life. And he accomplished that. Diana Way is dead and Philip Schmidt Way's life is ruined. And he still doesn't have that farm. It was all for nothing thanks to a carbon monoxide alarm, a distinctive truck, and a few good detectives. Greed. It's one of the deadly sins for a reason. Eric Way now has a lifetime to lament about how rotten his life is. I wonder how long it'll take him to figure out that it's all at his own hands. That, my friends, is all I've got for this week. I'll be back next Thursday with an all-new episode, so make sure you hit that subscribe button if you haven't already so you don't miss it. In the meantime, you can find me on Instagram at @least_of_these or my Facebook at @leastofthesepodcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring. If you know something, say something. And until next time, be good to each other. You've officially made it to another hot take. If you're new here, I don't script the hot takes. I have gotten a few messages and then there was a review talking about practice what you're going to say before you say it. I have a script for the actual episode, dude. I don't practice this part. Y'all want it unfiltered and you got it. So don't go leaving me a bad review talking about practice. Lord, this case. Where to even begin with this one? It's so sad to me. But you see this happen like all the time. A piece of dirt will destroy a whole damn family. And in this case, that's exactly what happened. Diana was getting up there in age and her medical conditions were pretty severe. So I'm sure she wanted to leave the farm to someone who she knew would take care of it. I don't try to just like judge people off Facebook alone. But I don't think Eric Way had the means or the mental capability to manage a 72-acre farm, which is why she chose longtime friends. She didn't want it to go to shit, but she knew she couldn't do it anymore. Hello. And the fact is that he almost got away with it. Like, he could have gotten away with it. Y'all know that, right? I don't know if I've ever talked about this before, but my dad, he is a longtime firefighter paramedic. And he lived in Florida the whole time and he worked in Florida the whole time. And so when I was doing this case, I was like, Dad, is it common for you to just like have a carbon monoxide alarm on you at all times? And he's like, no, there's one on the fire truck and there may be one in the ambulance. Probably one in the ambulance. I can't remember if he said there was or wasn't. I think he said there was, but like they don't walk around with them. That may be more common, you know, up north in the wintertime, he said, but generally, that wasn't a thing. So then I reached out to a fireman up north and he said, yeah, in the winter, you might have one. They might carry one in if there was suspected carbon monoxide poisoning, but they didn't just wear it to their belt. So I'm not sure if this was like a department thing that they just automatically had one, or if this was just the guy's, you know, the EMT's personal choice to have one or what. But That's crazy, because that's what tipped him all the way off. I mean, he may still have gotten caught. They may still have decided to do a toxicology, but you got to remember, she had some pretty severe health conditions, so they could have wrote it off to that. They really could have. But that stain, it was that stain and that carbon monoxide. I'm sure maybe they would have looked at the trail cam, or maybe not. Maybe if it had just been written off as a medical emergency, the police would have looked and said, no, nothing to see here. And then this dude would have got away with it. He'd probably have the farm. And he'd probably still cry on Facebook talking about, feel bad for me. Oh my gosh, you guys, when I tell you, I've never been so annoyed to have to go through someone's Facebook. It was politics, politics, more politics. I hate Elon Musk. I hate rich people. Let's see, cat meme. All cops are bastards. My life sucks. My life sucks some more. Oh, look, my life sucks. Like, look, it's tough out here for everybody. But going to Facebook and posting every day that you're miserable and hating on everybody, well, that didn't make nobody's life better. Certainly not his. And then there's the panty dropper. Y'all, when I read that, I couldn't stop laughing. Because, like, of all the things it could have said, for the inquiring minds that want to know, neither the truck nor the son were a panty dropper. Not even close. It wasn't even close. So yeah, I think that's my hot take for the day. The lesson for the day is don't kill your family over dirt. It's just dirt. And you ain't gonna get away with it anyway. You're gonna get caught. And then what? Anyhow, y'all know I love you more than my luggage, and I will talk at you next week. Bible thing.